Good morning. Bunkertop, yes. You know what Sehushabit means in Yiddish? Sehushabit? Yeah, sort of, you know, like, so many things are happening all over, you know, I can't get myself straight. So, like, I come in and all sorts of things happen, and people, you know, so a number of things I have to say before we start this year. Number one, I'm very, very, we're all very happy to see Elaine here with us. Wasn't here for a while, and honestly, I was thinking during the course of last week, I got a call of where is she, what happened to her. Whatever it is, we're very happy to have you here. Number two, there was something I wanted to say last week, and maybe we'll get to it later on, but our good friend Avron Chris came over to me last week before this year to tell me that he was sending a donation to the Philippine consulate over here. The Philippines have been parts of the Philippines have been terribly desolated by a storm, and it seems they've been good to Jews, aside from the fact that there are their people are doing great work over here, and he wanted to be part of that effort. And I wanted to say something about it, but you know what I get to say this year, Chris, we're talking about you, nobody's going to talk over here, I'll never get this year done. And here there's an interesting article, I think, editorial today in the Jerusalem Post about, like, you know, why we do these things. But then again, you know, they come up with all sorts of reasons except one. The Gemara, you took that right out of my mouth. The Gemara says that we are Rachmanim, we are and Gomli Chasodim. It's in our genes, she said. It's in our genes. It's not only so that the whole world should know what we're doing, it's pushing in our genes. That's all. All the other, what other benefits may come as a result, that's not the point. We are Rachmanim. We are a merciful people. So here I'm jumping ahead of myself with all this stuff. Like, you think you need a chumash to say a she? You need a Jerusalem Post? That was a joke. So here, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday was Monday. They have the Godel of the United States, Thomas Friedman of the New York Times. So yesterday he had an article, and this is what he talks about Israel at its best. Israel at its best is one of the most amazing political experiments in modern history. So much better than its critics will ever acknowledge. We're a political experiment. Isn't that crazy? We are the dire necessity of a people that was dying. Better watch my language. Second, Israel at its worst. Listen to this, be prepared. Seatbelts on. Israel at its worst is devouring Palestinian farms and homes in the West Bank in ways that are ugly, brutal, selfish, and deceitful, so much worse than its supporters will ever admit. What a ugly sex. We're brutal, you understand. The Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim of 4,000 years. We are brutal. What a shundarachatim. Brutal, selfish, ugly, deceitful. I have to get that. Do me a favor. I say these things so you people should write. I have to make up the shiurim. I don't have time to waste. You write the letters. Okay? The time has come that I give the instructions around it. Okay. Next. Last Wednesday, This is the week in review. Last Wednesday, there was an awesome article by Seth Franzman, but all right, we'll talk about that another time. It's one of my, about the depth and the extent of Jewish anti-Semitism. That's one of the things that has involved me 40 years. But then next to it are the letters to the editor and a fellow, Jay Shapiro. Who could he be? Rifki, is that your husband? Wrote a letter to the Jerusalem Post and Jay Shapiro. You know Jay Shapiro?
I do.
Yeah, he lives down at the end of the block over here. He was a classmate of mine in Torah Das. I don't want to tell you how many years ago. So he writes a beautiful, he's a great writer, you know. Anyway, he writes a great one. Some fellow in the American Jewish community who was reacting to the idea that, you know, all these reports now about the Jews vanishing, and so he basically comes to the conclusion, it's unbelievable, he comes to the conclusion that, you know, American kids, American young people would want to identify with Israel, but they're moral, and they can't identify to an Israel that builds settlement. So in other words, if there's a typhoon in the Philippines, you know why it happened. Settlements. If there is a plague in Russia, it's settlements. If kids in America are becoming Mechalei Shabbos and intermarrying, settlements. Shom Shomayim. That's so Jay Shapiro does a great job here. Okay, that's enough for now. But then there are two other things that happened this morning. First of all, this year is being dedicated by somebody who's real and exists, but chooses to be anonymous, and the share by this anonymous donor is giving a donation to the Israel Center is simply to express thankfulness for all of God's blessings. How do you like that? This person got up in the morning and said, you know, God's been very good. So this share is dedicated to the idea that God is good. Then, what started my tzehushaving this morning is I came in, and Esther at the desk gives me an envelope that says on it important. I opened up the envelope, and it blew my mind away. Dear Rabbi Shalom Gold, it's 30 years since you were in our house in Moscow for Shabbat Chanukah. Slava Shifrin. One of the most unusual Shabbatot in my life was Shabbos Chanukah, December 1983, when only heroes and the fearless went to the Soviet Union. Today, everybody and his kid brother goes to the Soviet Union. And I was there with my good friend, Malik Alinsky, Olav Ashon, who passed away a few months ago. We went then to Russia, and we had a Shabbos Chanukah meal that lasted for 6 hours in the home of Slava Shifrin. And not because there was so much food to eat, there wasn't that much food to eat, but there were about 40, 50 young people from all over Moscow, students, and first the davening of Mincha and Maariv, Kabbalah Shabbos was all done. They davened word by word out loud, because they were learning how to read and they were learning how to daven. It was an awesome Shabbos experience, the likes of which I've never had before. And the one thing that sticks in my mind was an extremely emotional 6 hours. I think I once described this to you. They sang one of Shlomo Carlebach's great songs, Uvo Hovdim Eretz Ashur Vanidochim Et Yerushalayim Yerushalayim. I saw 30, 40 young people crying as they were singing that song. And my mind went back to a week earlier on a Friday night in Yerushalayim, spending a Shabbos meal with a group of girls from the United States, and they sang the same song. Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. I'm sitting there a week later in Moscow, and I see how you're supposed to sing the song. The way they sang it, with that yearning, with that love, with tears in their eyes. I was all choked up and crying at the time. Most of them made it here already. Slava is here. I haven't seen her in years. Now we're going to find out how this got to me. I have no idea. All right, what else? Is there anything else that I have to say? If I left anything out, it'll come up. Boy, that took a lot of time. Here, there's more stuff. All right, it's coming. Shir. Parashat Vayeshev. We're just going to take a few psukim. Awesome psukim. Vayelchu Echov. Yosef's brothers went lid'ot et tzon aviyah b'shchem. They went in order, number one, in order to graze the sheep of their father in Shchem. Vayom Yisrael, Yosef, Yisrael said to Yosef, halo atecho roim b'shchem. By the way, it's always interesting. This is not really part of the shiur. This is just as an aside. Yaakov is called Yaakov and he's called Yisrael. The choice of what name is given to him at a particular juncture can be very important. Here it says, Vayomer Yisrael el Yosef. And I'll tell you in a moment why I think the name Yisrael is used here. Yisrael said to Yosef, halo achecho roim b'shchem, your brothers are grazing the sheep in Shchem. Lecha v'eshlochacho aleihem. Go, I want to send you to them. Vayomalo, and Yosef responded, Hineni, here I am. Vayomalo. And Yisrael said to him, Lech norei, Shlom Achecha, go see the peace of your brothers, that Shlom Hatzon and how the sheep are. Vahashiveni dohor, bring me back word. Vayishlochenu mi'emek Chevron, he sent him from the valley of Chevron, Vayavo Shchem, when he came to Shchem. Here we are, two psukim, two awesome psukim, and that's the shir. By Yimzei wish, a man found him, v'hine toeh basodeh, and he seems to be wandering, blundering in the field. By Yisholeu ish, the man asked him, lema, saying, Mantrakesh, what are you looking for? What do you seek? Vayomer, and he said, Et achai, onokim v'vakesh, I seek my brothers. Hagidon Ali, please tell me, Efohim ro'im, where are they grazing? Vayomer Avish, the man said, Nosu miseh, they have journeyed from here. Ki shamati omrim, I heard them saying, Nelcho dotoino, let us go to Dotan. Vayelech Yosef acharechov, Yosef went after his brothers, Vayimtsa'en v'dotan, and he found them in Dotan. Yosef wasn't asking for directions. He didn't approach the man approached him. And the man asked him, what are you seeking? And he says those four awesome words, which will be the really what the shir is all about. But Achai, Anokim Evakesh, I seek my brothers. Please tell me. Yeah. By the way, if you don't have it, maybe you should think of getting there's a Mordechai Ben David disc where he has a song, Et Achai Anokim Evakesh. Wow, what a song. It captures the mystery of Et Achai Anokim Evakesh.
My throat's not that good. I would have given you a rendition of it, but it's not going to look good. It's not going to sound good.
So here, number two, I took a paragraph from the Chanan Leibowitz, and you'll see how amazing this is going to turn out to be. The Chanan Leibowitz gives an introduction to the next three parashot, the parashot of Yosef. Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash. And she says, it's an idea that's expressed by others, but she does it very well. The parashat Vayeshev potkim onu be'oto complex sipuri aroch. In parashat Vayeshev, we begin with that complex and long story that spreads out of shalosh parashiyot, that spread out across three parashiyot. Vayeshev, Miketz, and Vayigash. Oto sipur mufla, that amazing story. Ashyeshbo behold tzad mitzadav kefelut. Every step of the way, it's double. Two things happening every step of the way. And she says what they are. Asiya enoshit, the shelasiya elokit. Two movements are happening at the same time. Men are acting, doing, going, saying. But the strings, there's a divine plan that is unfolding over here. So here it is, you see, human beings acting in all sorts of ways and doing all sorts of things. But at the very same time, this is all being orchestrated by the Rebbeinu. Asiya enoshit. And Asiya Elokit, men acting and God acting. Asiya bnei Adam mitoch nimukim nafshim tiviyim. Human beings are acting out and doing their thing because of their natural bent and their inclinations, ideas, wants, desires, thoughts. Asiya hamuzberet b'psichologia enoshit tivit. They are acting in a way that can be easily explained by the normal psychology of human beings. There's jealousy, there's hatred, there's pain. There are all sorts of things that are happening. V'hashgacha lukit, but there's also a divine God who's acting. Hamalaveh u'madricha afhi b'chol tzad v'tzad l'krat matarahi. There's a God acting throughout. And every step of the way, God is making sure that his divine plan is going to be carried out. Nidmeh, it seems, you know, superficially, if you look at it from the outside, nidmeh shbnei adam sholchim v'nishlachim l'tzorchem, that people are being sold and sent and go for their own personal benefit. Holchim they go, moslim they rule, noflim they fall. Come in, they get up. Mitapsim bidram hamalot, they climb the high steps. Noflim, people fall. Shuv bekamim volim, and then they get up again. I mean, there'll be a whole story with the Yehuda who has to leave his brothers until ultimately Yehuda returns home and becomes the head of the family. Ach nivachach, shakodish baruch hu hashaleach. We're going to see. The one who's sending, the sender is God. The molech, the one who's leading, the Rebbein Shem. Mashvil af v'romen, the one who casts down and also raises up. Yosef, who finds himself in prison in a dark, deep, damp dungeon, someplace below ground. And then that Yosef is going to rise to be the great power of Egypt. Umoshiv in the divim, and he's going to sit with the great of the land. Nasok here b'oto sipur shel shlichat Yaakov Yosef hamatchil. Let's begin with talking about Yaakov sends Yosef. Vayishlochehu me'emek Chevron. He sent him from the valley of Chevron. Of course, Rashi here on the spot asks the question, Chevron is in a valley? Chevron is on a mountain. So therefore Rashi brings the Medrash that says, Me'ota eitza amukar, that deep idea and counsel that came from those who sleep in Chevron, Avram, to whom God had said that his children are going to go down to Egypt, be enslaved, and afterwards I will take them out. And the process is beginning. This is it. When Yaakov sends Yosef, Yaakov thinks he's sending Yosef to find out how the brothers and the sheep are. Yaakov doesn't know that there's somebody else who has other interests over here, and those interests are that the process of Jews going down to Egypt will begin. That's the destiny.
When
Yitzhak
says, Hineni, we also start a series of things coming
afterwards. Except that over here we're talking about a process that's all spread across three parashot, but wait, watch. You know what's happening over here? I can imagine it. You know, my imagination is very fertile. In order for the whole process to start, Yosef has to meet up with his brothers. And there's a monkey wrench in the works. There's a puncher. Yosef comes to Shechem, there are no brothers there. What happens if he doesn't meet up with his brothers? There goes the whole divine plan out the window. Yosef turns around, says, my brothers aren't here, I'm going back home. I'll tell Pa, I went to look for them, I didn't find them. No. There's going to be somebody there. Somebody is waiting there to make that mid-course correction. Now stand up in heaven. The Malachim were simply in a dither and in a tither, flying back and forth. What's going to happen with the divine plan? And that, you know what? The man appears in the field, and the man is the one who approaches Yosef. And what's a big muzzle is this fellow who gives him directions doesn't tell him, Yashar, Yashar, Yisham Tishal. This man knows exactly where he is sending him. Because here it is, the divine comes in to make sure that everything is going to continue as planned. And this is expressed by the number three, the Ramban. Vayishlocheyu, it's an amazing, a beautiful Ramban. Vayishlocheyu me'emek Chevron. Yaakov sent Yosef from Emek Chevron. Yazkir HaKatov HaMakom Asher Shalachu Mishom. The Pasuk mentions the place from where he sent him. Loma. No, because really the Rambam is asking, what happened? And believe it, that was bothering Rashi too. Why? What would have been wrong if it would have said Vayishlocheyu, and he sent him? Who needs Me'emek Chevron? So according to Rashi, it's the Me'emek, the depth of that divine plan. What do we need the place for? They were living in Chevron, so obviously he went from Chevron. So the Ramban says, Loma, the place is Toltoski Hayoham Merchak Rav Beinei. V'lechein Asui Mo Ra'ah Ki Chokim Hayu Mi'aviyem. The idea that there's a long distance between Shechem and Chevron, and therefore they felt free that they can do with him whatever they want. Ulahagid, and also to tell us, Ki Yosef l'chvod aviv nis'amek l'leches achadim l'makom rachok. Yosef, because of his honor for his father, is ready to undertake this long journey from Chevron to Shechem. V'lo omar, and he didn't say to his father, Eich elech, how can I go for him, son, him, if they hate me? Rabbeinu opens a medrash, our rabbis have a medrash that says, L'hashlim eitzo amuka. This is what Rashi means. To complete the deep counsel, shel chover hanoe hakavur bechevron,
that beautiful person who was buried in Hebron, Avraham Avinu, by Yitzhak Eyuish, and a man found him, Vineto Evasoder. Yomar, the Pasuk tells us, Ki Toem in Aderech, he has stumbled and blundered from the road, V'lo Hayodea Ono Yelech, he doesn't know, Yosef doesn't know where to go. V'nichnas Pasode, he went into a field, Ki V'mekom Hamir'eh Hayam Rakesh Otam, he's looking for them in a place where you can graze sheep. V'yarech, here comes one of the great sentences in the Ramban. V'yarech HaKotil Bazeh, the Pasuk tells us all of this. In other words, these few psukim about Yosef getting lost and the man telling him directions, who needs the whole story? The important thing is, whatever happened, he got there. I mean, does the Pasuk have to tell us that, well, he went from Hebron, he made a right turn at Jerusalem, he made a left at Hamalah, and he took Highway 65? What do we need those details? All it has to say is that he arrived and he met up with his brothers. Who needs this two-pasuk interlude? Torah doesn't usually tell us seemingly mundane kind of things. But it's not mundane. It says, Lahakid, Ki Sibo Tadabo Dvo Elav Shoho Yoron Lakzarlo. There weren't many things that happened to Yosef for which he would have had justifiable reasons to turn around and go back home. Aval kol saval chvod aviv, for his father's honor, he is ready to tolerate everything. Ulo di enulo, here are the great words. To let us know also, ki hagzeda emes, v'hachaditzut shege. Hagzeda emet, God's divine decree is the truth. The hacharitzut and all of man's attempts are falsehood. Man simply will never be able to frustrate the divine plan. They can try whatever they want. They will try to take away shtikar of Eretz Yisrael, but that's not the divine plan. The divine plan is to give it to us. So therefore, all these little people could run around from Washington to Geneva, to Ramallah, to Yerushalayim. They can run wherever they want to run. Like in Yiddish, there's a beautiful expression, V'fasamta mois. You know what v'fasamta mois? A poison mouse runs around. Kerry? Gary is going to run around and keep running around for months. Mark my word. He'll get so tired, he'll get so exhausted. Said Bunishan, because Hagzeva Emes, God's plan and his decree and his decision and his plan is the truth. And all of mere little mortal man's moving around. Shega, watch. What? Here is the proof. Yosef is wandering. Yosef is lost. You know what? Don't worry. But all of a sudden, there's a man in the field. There's a man in the field. Kizimei lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu moda dera. The Rebbeinu prepared for him over there, brought to him a guy. Shalomi dato. You know what he means, Shalom Yidato? The man in the field doesn't even know what his purpose is. He doesn't know that he's there in order to make sure that this 17-year-old boy is going to find his way. He's there. And he does exactly what God wants him to do. V'lazenit kadmu rabotenu, that's what our rabbi spent when they said, that's what the rabbis meant when they said that these people are malachim. Now the word malachim doesn't have to mean angels. It can mean messengers. They're God's messengers. God can use all sorts of people to be messengers. You know what I mean? Rashi says that it was Gavriel.
it doesn't make any difference upon who that I'm bound. It could be anybody. And I'll show you right away. It could be anybody. And these people are called Malachim, not because they're angels with fluttering wings. They are there for a purpose. God places them there for a purpose. Ba'amram, that's what our rabbis meant when they said that these people are angels. Shalom al chinam hoya kol asipur hazeh. It's not for naught that this whole story is told. You know why it's told? Lahodiyenu, to let us know. Ki atzat Hashem hitakon. God's plan is going to be fulfilled. Ah, it seems like everything is going wrong. Yosef will never make it to meet up with his brothers. He will never get to his destiny. So Hashem tells him, Malachim, Chevre, don't get yourself all upset. Everything is going to be taken care of. And there he is. There's the man at the right place, right time, tells him exactly where to go. About a half an hour later, I'm innocently sitting in my house, and I'm reading an article in Makori Shalom. Listen to this. There was a Jew by the name of Rav Avrom Zuckerman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He died a few weeks ago at age 97. He was together with Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, the ones who built one of those awesome educational networks of all, starting from Kfar HaRoeh, where he lived his whole life. After he came from Europe, he lived his whole life there. They built the yeshiva in Kfar HaRoeh, and from Kfar HaRoeh, the entire network of yeshivot Bnei Akiva, Ulpanot, the Kadan Tzayot, the military yeshiva academies, all of that, most probably hundreds of thousands of students have come from. He was a little man. He was 97 years old when he died. So here I'm innocently reading this this biography of him, and it says that he arrived in Kvarnero, where he had come from the Varaduk in Europe. He got out of Europe around 35, 36. Somehow he got his hands on a certificate, the British certificates. In 1943, he arrives at Kfar HaRoeh, okay? The scene shifts now to Yerushalayim. There was a school here then, I remember the school, Beit Tzirot Mizrahi. A school for girls, Beit Tzirot Mizrahi. And here there was a student who had finished her years in the school, and she was planning to leave the school. And she discussed it with her teacher. And she said that she wants to go to work for the Mifalei Yam HaMelach, the chemical plants at Yam HaMelach. Teacher said, not a good idea. I have a better idea for you. Go to Kfar HaRoeh. They need you more there. They're looking for a number of young women to help out in various capacities. Go to Kfar HaRoeh. And her teacher also tells her that there's a young man there, Avrom Zuckerman, and we'll see right away why it was important that meet Avrom Zuckerman. The end of the story, of course, it is a year later, the two got married, and she's still living. They were married for 70 years.
Wow.
Over 100 great-grandchildren.
Wow.
And hundreds of thousands of Talmidim. Who was the teacher that sent her to Kfar HaRoeh? Nachama Leibowitz. I read this, and I told the story to my wife, and she says, that's what Nachama says on the parasha. That's what Nachama says about the man who found Yosef in the field. He directed him to where he had to go. Nechama directed this girl exactly where she had to. Did she know that she was a Shliach Hashem to create such a great family? No. Living evidence of exactly what Nechama says. I read this story. You should know, I got so choked up. And why did Nechama Leibowitz tell her to look up this fellow Avraham Zuckerman? She didn't have shidduchim in mind. The girl wanted to be able to continue learning. And she was a Talmidah of Nechama Leibowitz. There was, for many years, Nechama Leibowitz used to send out Gideonot. She would send out her parsha sheets, and the parsha sheets at the end had questions. And there were people who sent in answers to her questions, and she would check them and send them back. This has gone on for years. So she says she knows this fellow, she doesn't know who he is, but there's somebody who every week sends answers to her questions. Avraham Zuckerman. And therefore he has my sheets. So if you want to borrow a parsha sheet, you have somebody in Farago at. Okay. What a story. God works in very, very fascinating ways. She was the Shliach. She was the Shliach. Let's go to number five. We'll get back to four. I find those four words of Yosef fascinating. Et achai onochi mirakesh. And there it is, I doodled a little bit. He could have said, I have how many? One, two, three, four, five different ways in which he could have said it. What do I have over there? Et achai ani mevakesh. Ani. He said Anochi. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Or he could have said, Anochi mevakesh et achai. He could have said, Ani, I seek my brothers. Ani mevakesh et achai. He could have been even more poetic and said, Mevakesh ani Anochi et achai. I seeketh my brothers. Or mevakesh ani et achai. Instinctively, what he said was, Et achai Anochi mevakesh. So the first thing that we have to deal with is, and there are going to be really two major ideas that have to be expressed over here in order to understand what it is that Yosef is saying. First of all, that there's a difference between ani and anochi. Now, I was only with my associate at home, I was only able to check on two languages, French and Latin. I have a sneaky suspicion it may be true in every language. There's only one word for I. In Lashon Kodesh, there are two words for I. Ani and Anochi. There are no two words for I in English. Anybody else? Anybody speak Hungarian? Are there two words for I? No. All right. Anybody else speak any exotic language? Korean? Philippine? No, not two words for I. And the Lashon Kodesh? Two words. By the way, after I begin to discuss it now, you're going to watch everything you hear, every pasuk you come to. You're going to try and figure out if it says ani, why doesn't it say anochi? And if it says anochi, why doesn't it say ani? You will be fascinated. Please don't call me at any time of day or night to explain anything if you don't get it. The Ksav HaKabbalah, and similarly, but not expressed as elaborately, Balvin, they both say there's a big difference between ani and anochi. The difference is the following. I'll give you the example and then you'll understand it. If I say ani omeid.
Ani?
Ani omeid. I'm standing. I kneel made. So you're going to tell me if I ask you, what's the subject of the sentence? You'll say, a me is the subject. And omeid is the predicate. No, not in Hebrew. When it says, a me omeid, you know what the subject of the sentence is? Omeid, standing. And you know what a me omeid means? You know what it comes to tell you? I'm not sitting. I'm not reclining. I'm not jumping. I'm not doing anything. I'm only doing one thing. Ani omeid. Well, what happened if I say Anochi omeid? Oh, completely different to words. Anochi omeid means I and only I am standing. There is nobody else standing. That's a big difference between these two words. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, Anochi omeid bein Hashem ubeinechem. I stand between you and God. I am the intermediary. And when he says Anochi omeid, it means it's I and only I. There is no other thing or person or people in the world. It's I am the only one, Anochi omeid. We'll see. I printed out from the Concordancia, we don't know if you that it says Entanah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Asher Hotzei Ticha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. But wait a minute. In Pashat Lech Lecha, when God speaks to Avram, he says, Ani Hashem Asher Hotzei Ticha Me'ur Kazdim. Why by Avram does it say Ani Hashem Asher Hotzei Ticha? I am the God who took you out of Ur Kazdim. And by Matan Torah it says Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Good kasha, right? So I'll give you another few examples, so we'll get a little... Rivka is pregnant. She has prayed, she and Yitzchak prayed for a child, she's pregnant. And then she has terrible pains, and she says, in pain, lomo zeh onohi. What does that mean? Why am I? But what does it mean, lomo zeh onohi?
Why me?
Onohi, you know, over there, number one, she means... Nobody else. I've spoken to all the girls on the block. Nobody ever had such pains and pregnancy. I seem to be the only one. The only one in the world who has such pain. She may be also saying something else. Anochi expressing the fact that she is. Why am I? I want to be rid of it all. My whole essence. Who needs the Anochi? Me. Because whenever you use the word Anochi, the emphasis is on Anochi. If you use Ani, the emphasis is what's going to come after it. Esav comes in from the field and he sees Yaakov cooking this pot of lentils. Give me that red stuff. And he says, and Yaakov says, sell me your birthright. So he says, Hine onochi holech lamud, lama zeli b'chora. I am going to die. There's no one around here who's going to die of hunger. There's nobody else over here. There are all sorts of people there. I'm the only one who's going to die from hunger. His focus is completely on himself and his tremendous needs at that particular moment. The subject is Anochi.
Anochi tolad v'lo yish.
Olga, on your ten left. A tzedeket. David HaMelech Omer, Anochi tolad v'lo yish. I'm a worm. He's saying, all human beings are wonderful. He, in his humility before God, I am nothing. I am absolutely nothing.
Well, let's turn over for a moment. We'll come back to it. I knew what was going to happen. Here's a major shear, and it's pretty interesting till now. What do you say? Think it was interesting? Number seven. Yaakov and Esau come in for the brachas, and here's a classic example. It's one of those classic examples of Chumash. Did I underline them? Yeah, number seven. Yaakov comes in to his father, and he says to him, it's underlined by Yomer, Yaakov el Aviv, Onochi Esav Mechonecha. I am Esav, your firstborn. Watch. Number eight. The last sentence there that's underlined. Vayomer lo Yitzchak, this is Esav now. Vayomer lo Yitzchak, Yitzchak said to him, Yitzchak, mi ata, who are you? Vayomer, ani, bincha, bechorcha, Esav. These are two different answers. And by the way, these two different answers open up for us an amazing way of understanding what's happening over here. There's no question about it that the normal way to have responded to the father's question, who are you, is Esau's answer. Ani bincha. He doesn't know what's happening. He's not somebody who's coming into his father all concerned that the father may detect that he is attempting to deceive him. That's in quotation marks. You'll see right away it's not true. Normal way is to say, Ani, Bincha, Bechorcha, Esav. That's what you said. Yaakov said, not four words. He said, Anochi, Esav, Bechorcha. There are a number of differences between that, what Yaakov said and what Esav said. Yaakov didn't say Bincha. Esav did. Yaakov said the name Esav before Bechorcha. Esav says Bechorcha before he says Esav. There's a big difference between the two of them. The normal way to have said it is, I am your firstborn son, Esav. But that's not what Yaakov said. Anochi, Anochi. Now, the grammar of Anochi, where the emphasis is on the Anochi I, means it sets off that word for whatever comes afterwards. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is a statement in and of itself. I and only I am your God. And God is going to go on to say, there shall be no other gods before you. There's me, only me. Whenever you have Anochi, Anochi stands alone. Which means, therefore, the way Yaakov is saying it, Anochi, me. Esav, Bechorcha. What Rashi is saying there is not that Rashi is trying to get Yaakov out of a lie. No, 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 no. If you know the grammar, he's not lying. Anochi. Esav is your Bechor. Ksav HaKabbalah says, do you know what's going on over here? It's brilliant. Yaakov, by saying Anochi, not saying Bincha, Anochi Esav Bechorcha, not Bechorcha Esav. He's sending a very subtle message to his father that something is wrong here. And the Ksav HaKabbalah says, Yitzchak picks that up instantly, and that's why he asks. And that's why he begins to investigate. He touches him. Hey, Hakol Kol Yaakov, Hayadayim Esav. What was the first indication that something
is afoot over here. What Yaakov said. Yaakov didn't say it the way it should have been said. Esau said it correctly. And what was the point? You know what the point is? And I had mentioned that someday, a few weeks ago, I mentioned that someday I'm going to talk about it. Yaakov has to walk a very fine line. He has to fulfill kibud eim, and he does not want to cause his father pain. He sends a subtle message. Anoki, the moment that Yitzhak hears this Anoki, oi, there's something happening over here. Anoki, Esau b'chorcha. Yaakov wants to send that message to his father. He does not want to be the deceiver. But he has a mitzvah from his mother. So he's going to send that message. Because he uses the word Anoki. And more than that, there's a second rule that you have to know. This is a rule throughout Tanakh. It's a basic rule. If you want to impart two messages, the one you mentioned first comes first, and the second. Turn over to the first side. Show you a classic example. Number four. The Malachim come to the house of Avraham, beginning of Parsha Vayera. Vayomer Elov, they said to him, Aryeh Sarah, Ishtecha, where is your wife Sarah? Vayomer, and he said, Hinei Ba'ohel, she's in the tent. Vayomer, and the Malach said, Shov Oshuv Elecho Ka'et Chaya, I will return to you this time next year. Vehinei Vein, L'Sarah Ishtecha, there will be a son to your wife Sarah. All right? What happens in the interim now, in the next few psukim? Sarah laughs. Sarah doesn't really believe. You know what happens? The revelation comes to Avram, and he says to Avram, Lomozet Sohako Sarah. Why did Sarah laugh? And look at what's underlined at the end. Hayipole me Hashem Dover. Is there anything that God can't do? Lamoe. At this time, Oshuvei Lecha will return to you, Ka'et Chaya, as now. Ulesara Bain. It doesn't say Bain, Lesara, as it said the first time around. Because the Malachim want to tell us that Avram and Sarah are going to have a son, Bain, Lesara. If the Sarah has expressed her doubts about it, the message becomes a different one. Sarah is going to have a Bain. You always have to look. What's first? What's second? What's second? Same thing is true here when we're talking about what Yaakov is saying to his father. Anochi, I'm special. Esau bechorecha. Esau is your bechor. Anybody who knows the grammar knows that. This is a strange sentence. And the Ksav HaKavodah says that's exactly what it is that causes Yitzchak to question. When Esau comes, he says, Ani, Bincha, Bechorcha. He wants to stress that he's the Bechor. Bechorcha, Esau. Let's go back to Etochai Onochi Mevakesh. Yosef's statement is absolutely perfect. It couldn't be any more perfect than what he said. If for example, He would have, let's say the second one. Et achai ani mevakesh. Ani mevakesh does not say the same thing as Anochi. Anochi means that I and I alone. I don't know if my brothers are seeking brotherhood. I know me. And Anochi meaning my whole personality. Everything that I am seeks brotherhood. That's what he's going to seek throughout until the end of Sefer Bereshit. He couldn't have said, Atachai ani mevakesh. That would have meant me and everybody else. No. He couldn't have said, Onochi mevakesh atachai or ani mevakesh atachai. Because you know what he wants to do? He wants to put emphasis on what he wants more than anything else. Achwa, brotherhood. That comes first in the pasuk. Atachai. That's first. Because the emphasis is always that which comes first. So therefore, Yosef was unbelievable. He said exactly what Avi said. That expressed the Onoki, his whole neshama is expressed by this. Etachai, Onoki, me, whatever makes up me. Just as Onoki Hashem Elokecha means not only I and no one else, but that's my essence. Ani is a completely different story. Yes? Sorry. It's only because you're married to Jake. Otherwise, I'm not in. Yeah.
You were going to say about Israel and Yaakov.
Oh, good, you're not minding.
Yes, I read that.
I'll give you the answer to that. I hear this. Why does it say by when Yaakov sends Yosef on the journey, it says by Yom Yisrael or Yosef. Do you know what that's an indication of? He may not know it, but the Torah is telling us. You know what's happening now? The destiny and the history of the Jewish people begins. It's Yisrael that is going to grow now and develop from this first step. Now, there are certain things that cause me pain. So, I read something that just it upset me, and I don't have to tell you only the nice things about the Nechama Leibowitz story. What a story. No, I can tell you other things too. So here it is, I saw somebody who writes. I don't even know how somebody can use those words. It explains that when Yaakov returns to Eretz Yisrael, he comes toward Esav, he wants to do tshuva on the deception of having stolen the blessings. He's full of remorse, he's full of regret. He doesn't want to be Yaakov, the deceiver, anymore. He gives him back everything. Everything! And here's his repentance, Yaakov's repentance, as though he did an aveira, you understand? He didn't do an aveira. His mother sent him, and his mother knew precisely what the divine will was. She had been told that Yaakov is going to be the greater of the two. And if you're not so sure about it, just take a look at 4,000 years later. Okay. The brutal treatment of the Palestinians of the children of Yaakov. All right. Okay. But calm down. His repentance enabled him to come to terms with his brother. Yaakov doing tshuva for the terrible aveira. Okay? And to find God once again. He couldn't find God, okay? And in his repentance, enables him to cease being a devious heel sneak. Ever heard of a heel sneak in your life?
Who are you reading?
I'm not going to tell you who I'm reading. I will not tell you. I will not tell you. Even when faced with the terrorist rapist Billy of Stem, who are still holding Dina captive. But Jacob criticizes his own sons for not facing Stem and family frontally as an enemy should be faced. All right, okay.
important thing is, the thrust of this article is that that terrible, terrible thing that Yaakov did to his brother. And how he deceived his poor father, the heel snake. How anybody can use a term like that about Bechir Ha'avos, the chosen of the others. Titein emes li Yaakov, the Pasuk says. Yaakov is the symbol of truth. We have to appreciate that when Yaakov walks in there, as I've said, he's walking such a fine line. He doesn't want to cause his father pain, nor to deceive him, but he has the mitzvah of his mother, and therefore he goes in there and he says, Anochi Esav Bechorecha. He is sending a message that is so clear to Yitzhak that something is happening over here. He's not deceiving. And the end is that Yitzhak gets it, and he knows who it is that's there when he ultimately gives him the bracha. And therefore when Esav comes in and says, you have no other bracha for me, father? He says, I gave it to your brother already. Gam baruch yiyah. And one final thing. I put the last sauce in the wee hours of this morning. Yaakov is having his engagement in a struggle with the Malach, with the angel, during the night. Morning comes, and the Malach says, Shalcheni, let me go. So Yaakov says to him, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Listen to Rashi. Hey, look at Rashi. Kim Berachtani. Hodel Yerabrachot. Concede to me that the prophets are mine. Is this a heel sneak who's doing tshuva that he took the brachas? He's telling the Malach, I want you to concede to me that they belong to me and not to Esav. Hodel yer abrachas, shebirchani oli, which my father blessed me, she Esav ma'arer alenu, which Esav objects. And the Malach tells him, Lo Yaakov, your name is not going to be Yaakov anymore, your name is going to be Yisrael. Lo Yeomer, it will no longer be said, Shabrachos bo lecho ba'akfo u'rimiya. It will never be said again, until the Jerusalem comes. It will never again be said that you received the brachos from treachery and deceit. Ki in the smala, you got the brachos because they belong to you. Gilu Nefesh and full view of everybody. You did what had to be done, and you were right, and he sold it to you. The Sofa, and the Malach tells him the end is that this is all going to be confirmed by the Valenzo himself. He is going to call you Yisrael. And you know what he means by Yisrael? You're Yoshar. You're straight. You're not a heel snake. I have to go wash my mouth out. I need a glass of water, you understand? The Sofa Shakodish Baruch Hu Nigla Elecha BeBeit El, God is going to reveal himself to BeBeit El. U'machalif Shimcha, he's going to change your name. V'sham Hu Baruchecha, there he's going to bless you. And I, the Malach of Esav, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to concede that the prophets are yours. V'ani Shom Ehyeh. And I shall concede to you with regard to that. That's what the Navi says, Vayosara el Malach Vayochel, Bocha Vayitchanelo, that he ruled over the angel, and the angel cried and begged forgiveness from Yaakov. Rashi is saying the truth. There was no deceit on the part of Yaakov. Yaakov is walking that extremely fine line with such dignity, concern for both his mother and his father. It all depends on knowing these basic ideas, the difference between Ani and Anochi, and the idea that what's most significant comes first. And the classic example of that, of course, is Kabei et Ovicha ve'et Imecha.
When it talks about honoring father and mother, it says, Kabeinu Aviv Uvedimecha. When it talks about fearing, it says, Ish Imo V'Aviv Tido. A man, his mother, and his father he should fear. Why is it switched?
Yeah,
because Chazal explain that covered, son, you know, has covered for a father, mother is secondary. When it comes to Yiran, the Torah wants to tell you, you know, the Lama, that you have to be the emphasis. Father, we know the children are afraid of the father. They're not so afraid of the mother. So therefore the Torah says, Ish Imo Vavim Tido. That's it. Bella, I gotta go. I'm late.
One thing you didn't mention.
Is that so? Yeah?
I'll tell you what.
You